everyone, welcome to Radio and TV Entertainment, AMFM Podcast Show. Of course, you know, I'm the host, Yolanda Nolly, and I have Miss Woody, comedian Miss Woody, of course, and I also have the Honorable Mr. Aaron Marcus on the show with us. Hello, Mr. Aaron. Well, hello, Aaron. It is amazing. Hey. It is an honor to have you on the show. You have done so many things in your field, in your genre of acting, as well as modeling. And you know, it's a kind of like a wonderful craft that is performed on stage, as well as you know behind the camera, as well as in front of the camera, as well. Have you had that experience of not only being in front of the camera, but also behind the camera, Aaron, Mr. Aaron?
Well, first of all, just call me Aaron. I would say that just about everything that I do is in front of the camera. Some of the things that I have done behind, and I wouldn't say necessarily behind the camera, but I have been hired to find actors for some different projects. So I have done some work as a casting director as well. But I also, on the side, I save 5 days every month, and I do private online mentoring with people where I can help people who are interested in getting started in the industry or want to take their career to the next level. And I also have done over 800 in-person workshops. But the majority of my work, my daytime job, is acting and commercial modeling.
That is absolutely amazing that you have gone beyond the craft, and now you also mentor as well, and you do have a mentoring program that you offer, you know, through your website and also even on Instagram, I see.
Yeah, I mean, you can just go to howtoactandmodel.com or my Instagram. Name is just Aaron R. Marcus, A-A-R-O-N-R for Robert, M-A-R-C-U-S. And I tell you, it brings me a lot of joy helping other people, because I know what it's like to get started in the industry on your own. When I first got started, I didn't have any support. I didn't really have any kind of background in the industry. I didn't have mentors that I could go to ask for help. And so, look, I know how difficult it can be and overwhelming. So, really, it does bring me a lot of joy to help other people.
Now, what if...
That's wonderful.
I really enjoy, like, you know, finding, you know, looking at it, you know, into the area of that kind of that line of work, because it is kind of rough at the very start. It's that I've heard, you know, from a lot of actors and even people in the entertainment industry overall, just getting started. I hear that the average the startup fee to get into that line of work is actually $10,000 to get started. Is that right, Aaron?
I guess you could spend a lot of money getting started. I don't believe you need to spend that kind of money. And those are, I mean, some of the things that I would talk with people about. Like, for instance, yes, there are some startup costs. You're starting your own company, so the most important thing, besides having, you know, skills and being able to act or model, I mean, that you need to have, and you get that from either taking classes, studying with people privately, but you're nowhere near the $10,000 mark for anything like that. But for any actor or even commercial model, which is modeling for regular-looking people, I would say the most important expense after learning your craft is creating a headshot and resume. And for those people who might not be 100% sure what that means, a headshot is an 8x10 photograph. And that is a way for you to show the world how you should be submitted for different jobs. So if you, like, for instance, if you visited howtoactandmodel.com, you'll see my headshot. And when you look at it, you'll see I'm just a regular guy. I'm everybody's next door neighbor. I'm the guy you like. I'm the one you feel comfortable with. And it's not a coincidence that those are the jobs I generally get. Yeah, sometimes I'm able to play a little bit further away than that, but that's my look. That's who I am. And so you need a powerful and an effective headshot so that when projects come up, that's how you submit yourself, or you have an agent submit you. And I mean, you're really most likely, depending on where you live, you know, you're probably talking about anywhere from $250 to $600 for a really good headshot, assuming you know what you're doing. And once again, those are the kinds of things that I would walk you through so that you're, you know, absolutely prepared for the photo shoot and knowing how to find the right headshot photographer. You know, aside from that, there really aren't any other major upfront expenses except for training. But so I would say, and look, you know, people could spend $100,000, but I would say, honestly, you could probably get started in the industry for under $1,000.
Wow. I guess, because you know, that's, I'm looking at the numbers and figures as, you know, as far as if someone were to travel to, you know, California or New York City to get started, maybe that would be around the range, you know, as far as savings to start them up. But I guess, you know, overall, I guess it just depends on where they are.
You know, and you brought up a great point, and I have run into a lot of people who live in a secondary market, a small market outside of New York, L.A., Chicago, or Atlanta now, and they might have gotten, you know, one job locally, and now they're ready to go from Iowa to Los Angeles. And look, I would never tell somebody, don't do that, you're crazy, it doesn't make any sense, because look, you never know what might happen. If that's something you want to do, then do it. But as a suggestion, and this is just my thought, I would say stay in your market, get a lot of experience, really build up your resume. If you're doing commercial modeling work as well, make sure you get, we call them tears or tear sheets, copies of ads that you've done. And then when you feel like you're ready, then hit a major market. Because when you go to LA or New York, you are going to be auditioning or attending Go-Sees, which is the audition for models, with maybe people who have their own television series, you know, people who've starred in feature films. And I'm not saying that you can't just walk into a major city and immediately get work. It's possible, but there are also people who hit a $50 million lottery ticket as well. And so just from a business point of view, I would say get prepared. Get a lot of experience. And here's the one other thing that a lot of people don't think of. Everybody should save enough money to live when they go to a major market so that they can survive for at least 6 months without having to work. Because what happens to a lot of people is they're very excited, they move to LA, and all of a sudden they realize it's a very expensive city to live in, and you have to find a part-time job in order to support yourself to pay your basic bills. And then what you find is you're spending so much time trying to make enough money to survive that you don't have an opportunity to do what you really want to do. And you want to be able to start taking classes, start networking, start meeting people, finding agents, finding headshot photographers in those markets. And you want to be able to pursue that full time and not have to spend, you know, most of your day on a part-time job to survive.
I think that's wonderful advisement. Aaron, as I've heard, because my daughter, she started out going to Lisa Mailey School in Florida, and she started to take on-camera acting classes and so forth. And as I started to learn the market myself, And I love that you brought up that point that, you know, they need to start saving, bringing up a savings before they go out into the bigger markets like New York and California. So they're not, you know, having to take a secondary or, you know, first, you know, a job to, you know, to kind of sustain them while they're looking for, you know, continuously looking for auditions and honing their craft. Now, I also hear that there's more work in the non-union market than in the SAG market. Is that right? Mr. Aaron?
Yeah, well, you know, it depends on what kind of work you're talking about. If you're talking about feature films, if you're talking about television shows, then I disagree. I think that there is more work in New York and L.A. Having said that, when you are in what's called a right-to-work state, and unfortunately for me as a union actor, there are more right-to-work states than there are, you know, union states. But like places like Atlanta, there's a ton of work. And if you live in a right-to-work state, which Georgia is, that allows you to not be in the union and still work on union projects. Now, there definitely is more non-union work in the smaller markets, but typically those aren't going to be your feature films and major television shows. But TV commercials, independent films, things like that, there are also things called industrial films, which are training, educational, or corporate films. Yeah, most of those are going to be non-union in the smaller markets. So it's really up to you. And since you just brought up the union, and I'll just mention this, sometimes I think people try to jump in and join the union too quickly. And if you are living in a market and there's not a lot of union work, I don't know that it's in your best interest to join. Besides the fact that it's expensive to join, and look, once again, I want to make this really clear. I'm a union member, I'm a strong union supporter, but I also feel like I want to say what I honestly believe is in other people's best interest. So my thought is, unless you're living in an area where there's a lot of union work, you don't want to jump into the union too quickly, because their number one rule is, once you become a union member, you can only work on union projects. So, you know, you'd be cutting yourself out of a lot of experience, especially when you're first getting started, if you join the union too quickly.
That's when I tend to hear often that it's often praised to stay in for about, you know, recommended years as non-union before rushing into SAG-AFTRA, and other unions, because it is kind of expensive to go straight in. Do you also recommend maybe student films? And is there a criteria for starting out to get into student films as well? What would be the criteria?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and something that I always recommend is for people to contact their local college, local university, or community college, and find out which film classes have the students shoot films for their class. Then what you do is you speak to the instructor, you can send in a headshot and resume, and let the instructor know that you're very interested in auditioning for a student film. That is a great way to get experience, to work in front of a camera, build up your resume, because on your resume, you don't have to say student film. You can say, film. You can have the name of the film. You can have your character and the importance, you know, where you, star of it, the principal, and then maybe the director's name, or if the student has a production company. You can also check out, there are plenty of independent filmmakers in various areas, and you can even go to places like meetup.com and do a search and see if there is a meetup group, this is all free, of independent filmmakers in your particular area. And yes, those are great ways to get experience, and you never know where that student director might end up. There have been a number of well-known actors who started working with student directors when they were at the college themselves, and these people went on to have tremendous careers, and they kept hiring their friends who acted in their student films. So I think that's a great idea.
Yes, he brought up some very valid points, and I've been a part of a writing group on Meetup, and for my own film that I'm writing, I've reached out to some students, well, some people who were students, but we still are in contact, and that's some of the things that we were doing. Having the meetup sessions and writing little small scripts. I've been a part of some writing teams that put together little brief movie clips. So thank you for sharing that information, because that was one of my points that I had been making to some filmmakers and upcoming filmmakers to suggest that. So
yeah, and you know what? And I think it's so nice too when you can build up this small community of talented people, of artists. You've got writers like yourself, you've got filmmakers, maybe there are editors, you've got actors, you've got cinematographers, you've got makeup artists, you've got all these people, and you can form these wonderful tight-knit groups of people who just want to create, you know, and you can do anything you want. You don't have a studio telling you what to do and what you can't do, and I mean, to me, it just seems like a wonderful way to make connections and do projects that are meaningful to you. Even in film, you know, 5 minutes is a long time. You know, as you well know, 5 minutes is a long time for a film. And so even if it's a short film, it's just it'd be a great experience for everybody.
Yes, I agree with that, what you're saying, because I did a documentary based on workplace bullying. Titled The Day I Almost Went Postal. It's on YouTube. The title is funny, but the story is serious, and a lot of people laugh at it because I'm a comedian, and that's the first thing they think, okay, this got to be funny, but I say, well, I'm using humor to help and heal, and if it's a way for me to lure you to the film to check it out and get the information, you know, it works. And I worked with an independent filmmaker, a self-taught filmmaker, and we used my children as the actors in the documentary to do the dramatization. And we even entered it in one of the very small film festivals here in St. Louis back in 2014. And it caught the attention of quite a few people, not a whole lot of people, but yet the film is there forever and it's ours.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I think it's fascinating that, especially right now, with the entertainment industry as it is right now, during the quarantine, the pandemic right now, what would be some suggestions for actors that are, you know, just getting, trying to get out of being green and really trying to hone their skills during the pandemic and the quarantine, and we're, you know, because most of us are probably at home and we're trying to keep within the social, you know, comfortable distance. So we're, making sure that we're doing the protocol and so forth of not, getting too close, I would say.
Sure.
So what would be some of your suggestions?
I think that's a really good question. There are a bunch of things. One is, yes, please stay at home. Don't start getting together with other people. But what we can do, and something that I suggest, is look, while you are at home, this is a time period to try to continue to learn as much as you can. One of the things that I did, I have to shoot a lot of home auditions for various projects, and I wanted to experiment more with lighting and my background, so I spent a couple days just doing that, and I got the look that I was going after, so I was really happy about that. I'm finding that there are a bunch of people who are taking their career seriously, and they do contact me. to do private mentoring. So we can really work on some things while things are shut down, which they are. All projects are shut down right now. So that way, when things start coming back, you're going to be so much further ahead and ready to jump back in. So it just makes a lot of sense to continue to study while you have the time. Something else that people could do is if you have other acting friends, maybe, you know, you could go on, you know, Google Chat Room or Zoom or whatever programs you have, and maybe, you know, work out some scenes with people. You can see the other actor, you can hear each other, and stay in your home and actually work on things. You can also work on a monologue while you're, you know, while you're at home. And the other thing too is, don't forget, continue to work on memorization.
Yes.
You know, it's like any other kind of muscle, and it's easy to lose that. And so even if it's a matter of, you know, picking up a magazine or a newspaper and trying to memorize, you know, a couple of paragraphs in there, just to try to stay sharp while you're not doing regular auditions.
I think that is a great way to look at that, into things. What would you say for, would that be the same advice for models as well, Aaron?
Yeah, great. That's also a great question. So, once again, the things that I teach people in private mentoring is figuring out what for you. And so something that you can do if you are a model, well, first of all, if you are a fashion model, well, you can continue practice walking a runway, even if it's, you know, walking in your living room. If you're doing commercial modeling, which are, that's the majority of modeling that we see, these are all the people that you see in ads and magazines and newspapers and billboards and posters and brochures on sides of trucks, and just to make sure everybody knows, commercial models, unlike fashion models, come in all sizes, shapes, ages, all different kinds of looks. You don't have the specific height requirements and age requirements like you do in the fashion industry. So this would be a great time to figure out how to put together new eye-catching photos. And one of the things that I do, both in my book, I wrote a book, How to Become a Successful Actor and Model, and in my private sessions, I teach people how to create shots that actually look like ads without showing the product, without having any of the names or on the products themselves, without any words. And so this would be a great time to start doing research and figuring out what kind of shots are right for me. So, like, for instance, just to give people an example, so if I wanted to set up what's called a test shot, which is not an actual ad, but it's a photo that looks like an ad, I'd probably do one for me as an, maybe I'm a doctor, or I could be the patient, and I'm looking concerned, and I'm, you know, maybe putting a stethoscope on someone's chest or taking their blood pressure, or I've got a chart and I'm talking to the person. That could be an ad for a lot of different things. And it's in my wheelhouse. It's in my category. So if you are a model, spend time going through magazines, go online. You can even look at stock photography websites just to get ideas for shots, and start planning this out. Start practicing getting the right emotions that you need to show. Maybe it's for a jewelry store and somebody just proposed to you, and you've got to have this look of excitement and love in your face. That's a hard thing to pull off in a believable way. So while you're at home during this time period, practice getting the right emotions, figuring out what kind of wardrobe is right. Are there any props that you need to bring into the shot? Where are you going to shoot this? Where's the location? And even start researching photographers. Go online and start finding them, so that when you are ready and when we're back out working in this world, you're ready to go.
That is amazing advisement for a lot of our listeners. And please, listeners, listen in, because Aaron Marcus, he is a master at his craft. You've been in a lot of films. You've been in Gotham. You've been in many other films that have a lot of credibility to your name. When it comes to sites to create a profile, do you recommend other sites other than IMDb Pro?
Well, first of all, IMDb is a great website, Internet Movie Database. If you're starting off, I wouldn't recommend, and once again, this is just me, I wouldn't recommend spending the extra money to get the Pro. You can just go to IMDb, and it's not going to cost you nearly as much. But actually, if you're first getting started, you're not going to really have much information to put there, but it's a great, great website to get information from. So let's say you are going to be auditioning for a film, let's say it's a television show. Well, you can go to the IMDb page for that television show, and it will give you tons of information. All the different actors who appeared on the show, the casting director, the writers, and so it will allow you to do some research, prior to the audition. If you can have a website, for yourself, and there are ways of even getting free websites, you can start, posting and uploading some of your photos and your resume and your credits, just so you can always send people there. There are, other places, and I know I'm kind of jumping into marketing a little bit, depending on where you live, but there are organizations like 800 Casting and Actors Access and Casting Networks, and these are places where you can have a couple of photos. You can even find out about auditions, and some of them you can have a free site there, or it's not really a site, but a page. And then every time you submit yourself to a project, then you pay, and once again, depending on the company, it could either be 99 cents or $1.99, or for some of them, you pay a small annual fee, and then you can submit an unlimited amount of times. But when you're first getting started, I would use IMDb, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend paying for it at this point. Just because you're not going to have much information there, and I think you could probably spend your money wiser in other areas.
These are great tips for our listeners that are just kind of curious about the other aspects of getting into the industry as an actor. What would be your suggestions for models to find profiles to actually attach themselves to, sir?
Yeah, great question.
Well, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that question again?
When it comes to models and profiles, we kind of got a great understanding about for actors and where to go. But for models, what would be a great websites and places to go for models to
create a profile? Got it. Okay, so it's interesting. For modeling, there really isn't the same kind of website or organization or company as there are for actors. Now, on places like Actors Access, sometimes they will have information about jobs or castings for models, but most of those are acting oriented. If you are a model, here are a couple things that I would suggest doing. And if you are thinking about trying to break into the fashion modeling industry, number one, if you're a woman, you've got to be between 5'9 and 6 feet tall. Typically, your measurements are going to be 34, 24, 34. And if you're over the age of 21 and you haven't already had real success, it's going to be very hard to break in. But if that is an area that you're interested in, then what I would suggest doing is visit a bunch of fashion agencies' websites. And they all have a link there that you can click on. It might say, want to be a model, want representation, something like that. And they'll tell you very specifically. They want you to upload non-professional photos. And typically, it's going to be a full body shot for women. It's going to be a two-piece bathing suit. Oh, I forgot to mention, if you are a guy, you're going to be between 6 feet and 6 feet two and wear a size 40 jacket. Could be 40 long, but it's going to be a size 40 jacket. And once again, yes, there are some exceptions to the rule for men and women, but if you're talking about being a supermodel, they need you to be have those statistics. The reason is because the designers believe that their samples will look best in a certain size. So essentially, the models have to fit into the sample sizes. They don't make the samples for the models. Now, if you're not thinking about fashion, I didn't quite finish. So typically, yeah, it's going to be full body shot, just to the top of the head. Sometimes they want to see profiles. Sometimes they want to see your back. But they'll tell you very specifically. And it's pretty simple. You can just have someone take a cell phone, take the pictures, upload it, and if they're really interested, they'll call you or email you. Now, if you're interested in commercial modeling, and there are, just so you know, I mean, there are beautiful women, incredibly handsome guys who might be doing ads for high-end cars or cruise lines, or maybe exercise places, or just regular-looking people as well. What you can do is, there are a couple of things. If you are interested in marketing yourself, then I would be sending, you want to create something that's called a composite sheet. There are three different names, comp card, composite sheet, or Zed card. In Los Angeles, they call them Zed cards. It's the same thing. Instead of an actor's headshot, a model's composite sheet could have, they come in all different ways. It could be four photos on one side, one photo on the back. You could have four on one side, none on the back. There are many different ways of putting together a composite sheet. But essentially, it's four distinctive, different looks that you can show. At some point, I would create a composite sheet. You don't need that many because they're just not used that often anymore. I mean, I used to print thousands, literally thousands at a time. But now I might print 100 just because you don't use them very much because most of the work is done electronically. But every time I do go to a go-see, I always bring a couple of composite sheets. Or if I'm marketing myself, and that's where I was heading, I will send a composite sheet through the mail along with a cover letter. If you don't have a composite sheet and you're still interested in commercial modeling, if you have a headshot, I would send that. But I would send them to the art and creative directors at advertising agencies because sometimes they are the ones who choose which model gets hired. I would also send them to photographers, local photographers. And probably the best way is to get a local agent because the agent is going to know about more of the projects happening in your area. And they know how to negotiate for you. They know what jobs are right for you. So if you are a model, get the right photos. And those are some of the different ways that you can try to get some work.
Very great advisement, especially including for models. And I hear that those who have been in pageants, it's kind of different for those who are coming out of the pageant world versus the mob, you know, high fashion world. I hear that most designers really look for, you know, the models that understand that going into a go-see that is they're not modeling specifically because of for their look, but they're modeling for the designer's look and the way it's on the club, you know, on.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because for a pageant, it's about the person. It's about the person showing themselves to the world. It's about the focus being on them. And you are 100% correct. In the fashion world, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but the models, in a sense, are like coat hangers. And they are displaying the wardrobe. That's their job, to make the wardrobe look interesting. And the attention is not on them, but it's on the wardrobe, on the sample sizes that were created by the designers. So, yeah, you're 100% correct. And it's not to say that there aren't people who've come out of the pageant world who could still have tremendous success in both the acting and modeling industry. But it's a little bit of a shift. And just like in the pageant world, there are certain skills that you need to learn, and there are different skills. Just like if somebody has been doing theater work all their lives, and now they're auditioning for a film or television show, it's still acting, but you need a different skill set, because when you're on a stage, you have to make things bigger. You have to allow people to...
I'm so sorry.
Hear you and see you in the back row. When you're in front of a camera for film and TV, every little movement of your eyebrow is huge. So you've got to contain things so much more. And it's there are plenty of actors that do both unbelievably well. But there is a shift that you do have to learn in order to make that change from theater to film and television.
And I love that you mentioned that. And there's so many different, wording and terminology that is in different, both sides of the world, I guess, genre from on-camera acting to stage. There's just different ways that they will communicate. The markings, where to find your mark, where the actors stand, that they have to stand a certain way in front of the camera so they're not covering the other actor, per se.
And on the stage, there's no take two, or take three, or take four.
Oh, no.
It's live, it's happening. It doesn't work. For film and television, I remember I did a independent feature film, and I was giving a big sermon to my church. I was the minister, and I think we did about 19 takes. And they just wanted different angles. They shot things many, many different ways. That doesn't happen in theater. You do it once. Every night, you do it once, and then on, a couple days a week, you do it twice a day.
Absolutely. It's a lot of work. It's more, I would say both sides of the spectrum have a lot of work ethic, it just in different ways. Whereas my daughter was in a theater play, a community theater play called Sleepy Hollow the Musical. And I saw the actors, they really were, this became a family because they had to interrelate with one another on stage. But I would say the same thing for on camera too, where they would, kind of gather, and they would do their runs every night. It's a lot of work. I would see in theater. They would do their runs. They would do their fittings to make sure the costumes were fitted correctly. I would just see them coming out, and I'm like, oh, that looks too big. It would change. You would just see certain things, and they would run, and they would warm up their voices, especially for musical theater. They're warming up their voices even before the performance itself. So. It was quite interesting to watch and see them really start preparing themselves for stage.
And you're right, there's this real camaraderie, especially with theater, because you're working with the same people night after night after night after night. And, for film and television, it can be very different. Sometimes you walk in, you've never seen these people before in your life, and now you're doing a scene, and you shoot one day and you're gone. And so you don't necessarily have that feeling of community. Now, in those moments, while you're shooting, there has to be some kind of connection. But you're not really living with that person necessarily for long stretches like you do in theater. So you do get an opportunity to learn a lot more about people in the theater world, I think.
Yes, including, like I hear the Meisner techniques are more for how to kind of capture that moment, and how and it teaches you more how to listen as you're co-acting, I would say, on film and on film. I love improv because comedians, I hear that comedians are really able to effortlessly to go and cross over from the comedy stage to film. because they're just easy at doing improv. I think Miss Whitney would have more input for that because, you know, she's done a lot of comedy and so forth in her background.
Oh yes, I mean, one thing I can say about the comedians, even the ones that I got started with, like Cedric the Entertainer, LaVell Crawford, and the Torrey Brothers, they went from the stage and got into film, and that's one of the things I told a lot of the up and coming comedians. Don't limit yourself to the stage. Find some independent filmmakers, some people that are writing stage plays, and get that experience. You know, you can utilize that opportunity and point in on your comedy craft and take that scene. And that's one thing about the comedians. When the reins are let loose and you're given the opportunity to say, hey, take this scene and make it yours. Oh, we love that.
I guess the important thing is with what you're saying is you also have to find the writer and director who is cool with that, as opposed to, hey, look, these are the words I wrote. I want you to say these words, okay? You got it? I wrote these words. This is what I need to hear.
You're right.
I don't want to hear your rants. I don't want to hear you going off on tangent. This is what I... So for people, you know, who are used to being able to just riff and do improv, you know, that I'm sure that does take time to also learn how to rein yourself in and just say the words that you're given.
Absolutely, because I do hear that, you know, when you're reading a script, you know, especially for directors and screenwriters, you know, you have to, you know, legally, you have to be able to make sure you say the words and within that monologue as written, because you know, these are copyrighted words. You can't speak
yours. But sometimes the directors are fine with letting people, you know, jump. Sometimes too, what they will do is, okay, so I want to hear it straight from you know, what was written. Let's do a couple takes like that. Okay, got that. Now it's time to play. You know, and then they will give people permission. But, you know, it's like every human being is different, and every director is going to be different. And so, you know, those are things that you want to talk about ahead of time so that you don't run into a very awkward situation where you just want to be able to riff and they're saying, nope, don't want you to riff. I want you to be, you know, on book, word by word. And so you want to make sure it's a comfortable situation for both of you.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just, you know, and you know, from what I've kind of learned in the modeling world, as I was helping out a couple of friends of mine that were doing like a modeling boot camp, modeling and acting boot camp, I was hearing that it's always good to really research not only the fashion designers, but the fashion house, you know, the way that they're, you know, their creativity and their work, and find out what, you know, what creativity they, what they're looking for, and, you know, creatively, before, you know, kind of going to that go-see, just kind of doing your research. And I guess would it mean the same, finding out which director you want to work with, creatively?
That's a great point. And it's not, you know, I would have to say it's not so much which director you want to work with, because, look, especially when you're first getting started, you don't care. You just want to get hired. You know, I can't imagine there are too many people getting started who say, nah, I'm not crazy about that director. I think I'm going to turn that one down. But you are 100% correct. Look, anytime you're auditioning for a television show, there are a couple things you absolutely need to do. One of them is watch the show. You've got to be familiar with all the different characters. What kind of show? Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? How do people talk on the show? Do, you know, people cut each other off? Is it more laid back? Do people talk very quickly? Those are things you absolutely need to know, because if you go into an audition for a television show and you and the casting director might ask you, do you have any questions? Or maybe you just have the question, okay, hey, I'm reading for Mary. And who's Mary in this show? And Mary is the lead in this show? Well, you're not getting the job because you're going to be viewed as a very lazy actor who didn't do any homework. If it's a feature film, well, you can't watch the film, but that's why what you said is so important. You want to find out who is directing the film. Then you go to IMDb and you look up the different films that this director has done, and then you go to YouTube and start watching clips from those movies, and you'll get a sense of the style of the director. And look, I'm not saying you've got to follow it, you know, exactly if you feel like your character should be doing something different, but, you know, if you have a pretty good idea of what the director typically likes and is looking for, that will help you. Like, for instance, when I auditioned for M. Night Shyamalan, he was the guy who wrote and directed The Sixth Sense and Lady in the Village and Glass, and, I mean, just tons of films. So I knew that in all of his movies, there were always surprises. There's nothing big. You say a tremendous amount just with your eyes. And because of that, I got a call back. And I didn't wind up booking the job, but I got a call back, and I was reading with M. Night Shyamalan. And part of it was just because I knew the kind of feel that he was going for. And that helped me tremendously, you know, for that project. So, yes, do your research, whether it's modeling or acting.
Oh, wow. I'm sort of familiar with his films. I love Glass. It's very different, the way he portrayed superheroes. Interesting film. The way his approach when he was directing and how he selected the actors to kind of get a feel of how they would creatively bring those characters to life and how they would, you know, breathe into their lines, especially on film. I haven't seen the behind the scenes. I would love to see that, but the film itself was really creative, very different, I would say. Now, when it comes to stage names, like now that's something. Is it a little bit tricky with that when they're starting out? Should they just go and, you know, and not think about that, you know, as far as changing having a stage name versus their birth name, I would say?
Yeah, you know, I know years ago people would change their name to try to hide their ethnicity, and, you know, I would hope that in today's time period that's not going to be a factor. You know, I just kind of think, like, if you like your name, use it. The only time I would make some kind of change is if you're trying to join the union and that name is already taken, which means you've got to have a different name. But sometimes people will just add a middle initial, they'll add their middle name to it just so that they can get into the union and use their name. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like if you like your name, use your name.
Yolanda, your other interview is on the other call, so just wanted to let you know that.
Okay, absolutely. You know, it has been a very amazing conversation with you, Aaron Marcus, and I definitely want to keep up with everything that you're doing with your mentorship and everything you're doing for actors and models. And I would love to have you back on the show, Mr. Aaron. You're full of a lot of wisdom when it comes to the genre, when it comes to the genre of film and acting. Sir, how can our listeners find you to get more of your tips?
Sure, the best way, just go to my website and just spell it out, howtoactandmodel.com. And you can find out all the information about my book, How to Become a Successful Actor and Model, my private mentoring sessions. I even have something called a season pass membership. Every month I interview industry professionals, create a video, and you get those free. We meet up once a month. Talk about anything you want to discuss. It's called the Season Pass Membership, and you can read about that as well. So, yeah, getting to me, and you can also email me right from my website. Just go to the contact tab, but it's howtoactandmodel.com.
Mr. Aaron, it has...
I just forgot. Definitely check out my Acting and Modeling Quick Tips YouTube channel. Oh. And just go to YouTube and just type in Aaron Marcus. I have an older one, but on the older one, there's a link for the new one. And I've got about 216 free acting and modeling quick tips. And it's just a great place for people to go. It's all free just to learn more about the industry.
Thank you so much, Mr. Aaron Marcus. I am so pleased to have you on our show. It's been an honor to have you and have your wisdom on the show. Absolutely. And definitely, I want to stay connected with you, everyone else that has listened in to someone seasoned as you and knowledgeable, make sure you follow Mr. Aaron Marcus online and in the sites that he recalled, especially on Instagram, because you'll get so much more insight there too.
Yeah, that's just Aaron R. Marcus on Instagram.
Definitely, I'll be checking you out.
Absolutely. Definitely, Mr. Marcus, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. It was fun.
Absolutely, Mr. Marcus. And thank you, everyone, for listening in to Radio and TV Entertainment, AMFM Pocket Show with Aaron Marcus. Take care.
Radio and TV Entertainment, AMFM Podcast Show. With Yolanda Nolly.